are listening to the Punk News Podcast, and yet again, it is one of the special episodes. It is, of course, the episode we always have after Record Store Day. It's Ricky and John Talk Records, and he's back. Tricky Ricky. Tricky Ricky, how's it going?
It's doing great. So glad to be back to talk records and stuff like that. It'll be interesting. Black Friday Record Store Day, I think, was definitely has some remarkable things, so I'm excited to get into it.
I actually totally agree with you in that I thought this list was the strongest Black Friday list we've seen in a long time, and really one of the stronger Record Store Day lists in general over the past 5 years or so. The weird thing is when I was out, actually, and I was just doing some reconnaissance and I was out and about and stuff, and a lot of people I talked to thought the list was weak, which I didn't get at all. Like, I thought the list was very strong. I'll just run down some things I thought were interesting. But I talked to numerous record stores and they all said the same thing. This year was kind of weird. And of course, Ricky, what does weird mean when the record store says it?
Listen, I can give a story about a record store in Portland. Shout out Too Many Records. They had a real issue with it. So this was kind of a weird year.
Well, what I took to mean by the records when they said weird, it means slow. And actually, I talked to two, not owners, but people that worked the records, and they said it was slower this year than last time. Could be
Interesting.
the economy. Could be the record store manias, record manias kind of dying down, which we'll talk about that a little bit. But it could also be one thing that I'm going to mention in a hot second. But list wise, I'm just going to not even stuff that I necessarily got, but stuff that I thought was interesting. Bad Brains Live, pretty interesting. Bratmobile 12-inch EP, pretty interesting. Alice Cooper Live, pretty interesting. Dead Milkman reissue, very interesting. Devo sings Christmas tunes, pretty interesting. Doors Live, pretty interesting. Bob Dylan, the Free Will and Bob Dylan, but actually it's like a weird version, one of these quote unreleased versions. We'll talk about that too. That had different songs on it than the actual release. Flaming Lips Live. I mean, I don't care about the Grateful Dead at all, but a whole bunch of Grateful Dead. People love Grateful Dead. Billy Idol, 12-inch single of 77. Billy Joel Live in Long Island. David Johansen's his kind of his folk record. He's got two of them. Let's see here. A couple of other interesting things. Ramones Live, super interesting to me. Motorhead Live, interesting. Nico Live, 19. Wow, Nico Live in 1974. I didn't even see that. Is it? I guess that's after Velvet Underground. Velvet Underground's like 71, isn't it, Ricky? Or even 68. So that's after
69, no.
69. So that's after Velvet Underground, but still kind of interesting. Nico Live. Let's see what else here. Tom Petty Anthology Live, which is kind of cool. Or actually, yeah, Live Anthology, which is kind of cool. I mean, I'm not a Rat fan, but some kind of Rat record. Rolling Stones, what do you call that? Ricky, what do you call it when it moves while you play the records, like a picture? Zoetrope.
Oh, okay. We, okay. Can we? We need to talk about that too. The Zoetrope thing. It's
Yeah,
become a trend that's driving me crazy.
we do need to talk about. Yeah, I agree, and let's definitely put that on the schedule. Talking
Yeah.
Heads demos and live, Van Halen with Sammy Hagar live in 1995. I'm not interested in that, but I'm sure someone is. Voivod live. So if you ask me, man, a lot of real interesting things. So I'll just kick it off. Is I was actually selling records at a record convention on Record Store Day, so I wasn't able to get to the record store till later on in the evening, and actually, I could have actually worked it, so I went to the record store day, in the morning, early morning, and then went and sold records. I gotta say, Ricky, I was going to do it. I was going to do it. I was going to do it. I'm like, I gotta get there. I used to get there at 5 a.m. I'm like, these days you gotta get there at 3:30 a.m. or even earlier, but 3,
Yeah.
3:30 a.m. So I'd be at the record store from 3:30 till 8, and then go sell records from 9 till 5 or 6. Kind of a
Oh,
long day,
brutal.
but I mean, I was thinking, maybe I'll just like I and I was weighing the options in my brain. It's like, well, I could suck it up and quote suffer for a day, and then I'll have these records, or I could relax and then not have the records. I'm like, I think I'd rather suffer and get the records. But Ricky, it's of course it's the day after Thanksgiving, and I was looking at the weather, Ricky. It was like super cold in the Philly. Like, it was like 20 degrees or 25, like 25 or 30 degrees. I'm like, oh, I do not want to sit in 30 degree weather for 4 hours to buy stupid records. I'm like, you know what, man? Records, even more than ever, Record Store Day stuff flies up and then crashes, like even within a
Right.
couple of hours, So I said, you know
Yeah.
what? I'm just gonna big dog it, man. I'm just gonna go sell records. And then I'm going to go to the record store and pick up the scraps and then I'm just going to big dog it and just buy shit online afterwards, you know, depending on the price.
Yeah.
So I went and sold records at the Not Just Rock Expo, Ricky. Perhaps the longest running record convention in America, continuously running record convention in America. Also run by a nice guy called Fred. Ricky, how long do you think this dude's been doing record conventions for?
3 decades.
5 decades, Ricky.
Whoa, what?
49 years, man. That's pretty crazy.
Damn.
Like, he's been doing records, Ricky, since the first time around. Not even like the second time around, since the first time around, you know.
He's OG.
He's as OG as it gets, man. So that was cool. So then afterwards, I ran over to the Rock Shop in King of Prussia. King of Prussia's outside Philadelphia. Rock Shop's a pretty cool shop. There's actually three of them run by a real nice guy called Roy. Got some. They kind of came to maybe a younger crowd and maybe a more casual crowd. Lots of new records, some cool used ones. So I go in. Ricky, do you think there was many, many, many records left over, or do you think it was pretty picked over?
The prior.
Wrong, to my surprise.
Really?
In record store days past, there have been so many records left over. Ricky, it was picked over. No
Wow.
Dead Milkmen, no Alice Cooper, let me think, no Ramones, and one Bad Brains. So I grabbed the Bad Brains. I also came across this weird, it's kind of a dopey record. Well, I don't know if dopey is the right word, but it's called, I'm pulling it right here. It's called, and I didn't even know about this record, Rock the Plaza. Do you hear about this record, Ricky?
No.
It's Alice Cooper, Josh Homme, or Oranthi, which is Alice Cooper's guitarist, and Paul Rodgers of Bad Company doing like a live benefit show or concert to save the historic plaza in Palmdale, California, November 11, 2022. I didn't hear about this concert. I didn't hear about this release. And this is a different release than the Alice Cooper live record, which we'll talk about in a second. So I'm like, wow, I love Alice Cooper. I'm a huge fan. Anything Alice Cooper I want. One whole side is Alice Cooper live, and then he does a song at the end as well. Maybe, I mean, I am not a Josh Homme fan at all, but it's got Josh Homme covering David. It is Josh Homme, right? Is that how you say Josh Homme, or is it Josh Homme?
I think it's Josh Homme. I could be wrong.
Josh
I could
Homme, it
be
might
wrong
be.
though.
So he covers David Bowie, which is kind of interesting. Let's see what else here. Who's Jay Naylor?
That I don't know.
Somebody named Jay Naylor covering David Bowie. Oh, there's two David Bowie covers here, covering Rebel Rebel. But it's got Alice Cooper doing No More Mr. Nice Guy, I'm 18, Under My Wheels, School's Out, which he morphs into another brick in the wall. And then he also does My Generation on it. So I picked it up. I haven't listened to it yet, but it looks pretty cool. Also, because I just happened to be there, I wasn't planning on getting it, but the new version of Free Will and Bob Dylan, which has a whole like four songs that weren't on the original on it. Which, Ricky, I gotta say, this keeps happening, and I'm becoming more and more suspicious. Where they're like, "Oh, it's the original version that got canceled." You know what I mean? It's like,
Yeah.
did that happen that many times? You know,
Right.
when
Weird.
I think they just throw like I think they just throw like outtakes or bonus tracks on the record, and they say, "Oh, this is what it was originally intended." You know, when it's not right. But anyway, I picked it up because I'm not a huge Bob Dylan fan, but I'm a fan, so I picked it up. I picked up the Bad Brains record. Bad Brains record live at the Bayou, two different shows, July 14, 1980, March 15, 1981. It's out on this label that I never heard of before, Time Traveler. You ever hear this label record, Ricky? Time Traveler.
No.
So I thought for sure that this was going to be like one of those kind of gray market Bad Brains live records, and they all sound terrible, you know. And then the Bad Brains posted about it just like a day before record store day. So I'm like, you know what, man? I have every Bad Brains record. I'm just going to get it. Ricky, Bad Brains
Yes.
live at the Bayou, without question, the best Bad Brains live record ever released. Great sound quality,
Whoa.
great performance. Also restored by Don Z and Tara, which is kind of cool. Let's see who else is it. Daryl Jennifer was directly involved in the creation of this product. So I was shocked because you know Org Music is re-releasing all the Bad Brains stuff. So I thought they'd have Org do this, but they did not. Some other label. So came out super nice, highly recommended for sure. Also, Ricky, this was weird. Guess what was sitting there still, and I couldn't believe this. Well, you won't get. Go ahead and get. I'll give you one guess. You're not going to get it, but.
What?
Ween Shinola One, which is really
Oh.
weird because in the Philly, you know, Ween's from New Hope, which is right near Philadelphia. So Ween is huge. I mean, Ween's huge all over the United States, but in Philadelphia, they're like massive. I don't know how that was still sitting there at like 7 p.m. at night. It's the reissue of their, well, I'll say their Outtakes album, but it's, I mean, I actually have an OG Ricky, but I saw it and I'm like, I'm buying it, man. So I snatched it up. To me, Shinola is one of the best albums because I think they kind of spruced up some of the tracks before they released this thing. And so really it feels like a, it feels, I think they just should have just released it as an album. It's so good. I love Ween Shinola. It's really an excellent collection of tracks. What's also kind of interesting about this release is word on the street is that the two Ween guys are not getting along at all. And that's evidenced by there's so almost every Ween record's out of print. Like all the big ones are totally out of print. You know, the only one that isn't is like The Pod Live at John and Peter's, and like maybe one other isn't out of print. But even the other big ones, which the boys control, I believe, are totally out of print. And so that was just they can't get along to the point where they can't even reissue their own records. The fans want them.
Whoa,
And then
crazy.
actually, even Chocolate and Cheese was just reissued, Ricky. It's already a $100 record because it sold out immediately and nobody repressed it, which is weird, you know? So it's kind of weird that this Shinola record just popped up. Like maybe this has been in the works for like over a year since before the boys got in a fight, or who knows? But of all the records that pop up, this is kind of an interesting one because it's not one of the bigger Ween records, but maybe that's why it was for. I do know for a fact that sometimes Record Store Day, independent bands, even though Ween was a major label band, but independent bands will reissue their not biggest stuff because they want to handle that themselves, you know? So maybe Ween says, oh, well, you know, we'll do this through Record Store Day. But maybe it suggests there's a thawing of the ice and maybe the Ween guys are getting along, or who knows? What I big dogged online was kind of my two, three, well, the three biggest ones I wanted. I got Ramones Live at CBGB's, which I'm pretty sure I'm going to look it up while we're talking. I think Ramones Live at CBGB's is just a reissue of the CD bonus tracks of the 2002 reissue of Leave Home. We're going to figure that out in a second. And I also got Dead Milkmen with the reissue of Big Liz in My Backyard, their first album. And I also got Alice Cooper live in 75 on the Welcome to My Nightmare tour. I'll say all three releases are extremely well done, extremely well done. The Alice Cooper record, great. And you wonder, like, in a way, I'm glad, but you wonder how does this stay in the vault for so long? It's Alice Cooper on arguably his biggest and most famous tour, live, doing the whole album all the way through with some other tunes. Like, how is this still in the vault? But you know, I'm glad it is because it means we get, even though Alice Cooper is, you know, kind of nearing the end of his career, and he's put out a lot of records, we're still getting premium stuff from him, which is pretty cool. And of course, pretty much every Record Store Day, Alice Cooper puts out some pretty cool stuff. So I was super psyched on that. The Ramones record, great sound quality. Actually, let's see here. Oh no, Ricky, I'm wrong. It is not what I said it was. It is not the bonus CD from Leave Home. Maybe it's an exclusive thing.
See, how do you keep that under wraps for so long?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. I think this is an unreleased Ramones live album from 1977, CBGB's. Wow, that's kind of wild, isn't it? Maybe. Oh, you know, I remember where it's from now. And we're gonna look this up real quick. It's you remember when the Ramones did like super deluxe box set reissues about 5 or 6 years ago? I think it's from that. I think it's from the deluxe reissue of Rocket to Russia. Let me pull that up real quick. I bet that's where it's from. But at any rate, it's great sound quality, great performance. At this point, there are a lot of live Ramones albums issued through Record Store Day, but I'm not complaining because they're all super well done. And to me, the more Ramones, the better. And it's Ricky, I take it back. It's not from the box set either. I think it's his own thing.
Again, how do you keep that under wraps?
I don't know, man, but it's awesome. It's awesome. It's Ramones live during the third record, and it's freaking awesome. It's rad.
Cool.
I think. Let me just double check one more time, and then we'll confirm that, but that's pretty cool. Lastly, I got the Dead Milkmen box set. This is the first time the Dead Milkmen have issued remastered versions of the first album. They've slowly been re-releasing their stuff over the past few years, but they've been doing it kind of an odd fashion that they're releasing it through a label called The Giving Grove. And I think the big deal with The Giving Grove is that like a lot of that money goes to charity, which is cool. But for the last two records, Ricky, they reissued the records. They didn't have any bonus tracks, I don't think, but they were like $50 or $60 each, which I guess because money goes to charity, they like have to like beef it up. But it kind of backfired in that those records immediately dropped in price because they were kind of overpriced and no one wanted to buy them, you know. And Ricky, oh, so here we go, Ricky. What it is, the Ramones record is one of the CD bonuses on the deluxe box set of Leave Home. That's what it is.
Okay. Makes sense.
Still cool to have on vinyl, first time on
Sure.
vinyl. So anyways, so this time they did something kind of weird. Of course, Big Lizard is either Dead Milkmen's biggest record or second biggest record with Beelzebub. They did a very limited run, which in the Philadelphia area, Ricky, this was the hot item, Dead Milkmen. Sold out, you know, at 8 o'clock in 17 seconds. Immediately,
Yeah.
bam. There wasn't a single one anywhere, you know. And it's supposed to be one of these record store day first release things, which means it'll come out again later. But A, it doesn't always come out again later. And then sometimes when it comes out again later, it's just a CD or it's without the bonus tracks or whatever. So handled in kind of a weird fashion, but the release itself is exceptional. The whole record is remastered, sounds great. It comes with a bunch of out, or I guess it comes with a bunch of not used recordings, like same songs, but different sound recordings, different takes, that the band actually kind of forgot about, which is kind of neat. The box set itself was designed by the drummer Dean Clean, and it's actually kind of got this, what they call it, lenticular, so it like moves. So certainly, if any record deserves the deluxe super fancy treatment, Dead Milkmen, Big Lizard in My Backyard does. And so they did a super nice job. So what I will, you know, sometimes there's a question of product quality on record store day stuff. To my estimation this year, the product quality was fantastic all the way around. Here's the one thing, Ricky. What do you think the Bad Brains live record cost? Two LP.
2 LP? Oh, $49.99.
55 bucks.
What the fuck?
What do you think
What
this
the
out?
fuck, John? Are we this old or are things just getting crazy?
The Alice Cooper live record cost, Ricky.
Is it?
Double disc.
$59.99?
47 bucks. What do you think the Rock the Plaza, Alice Cooper, Josh Homme, Aranthai, and Paul Rodgers? Double disc.
There were a lot of double discs.
Yeah.
$49.99.
Close, 47 bucks. What do you think Dead Milkmen cost, Riggy?
Oh. $64.99.
80 bucks.
What the fuck, John? What is happening?
I'll let Dead Milkmen slide though, because it's not really just, it's really a box set. Like it's two
Okay.
records, but it's got like all this fancy stuff in it. You know what I mean? So
Okay.
I'll let that one slide. It's a super deluxe box set. But I mean, like, come on, man. 51 bucks for Bad Brains Live. Like, come on, man. However, here's the weird thing though, Ricky. What do you think Ween Shinola cost? Single disc.
I'll go back to $39.99.
29 bucks, which is not, I wouldn't say that's cheap, but for record store day, I'm saying that's cheap,
Oh,
you
for
know?
chi yeah, and also with how in demand it is. Yeah, okay.
How about Bob Dylan reissue? Fancy remastered with bonus tracks, we'll call them.
I'll do $29.99 again.
$26, which is cheap for a record in 2025, you know?
Yeah.
So I will say overall prices were astronomical and bizarrely high, with a few exceptions. Ricky, I do think record store day is kind of strangling itself, man.
It is.
Nobody wants to, like, Ricky, I spent about $400 for like seven records.
Yeah.
I did feel good about it. Like, I didn't walk out being like, hooray, what a great day. You know what I mean? I'm like, this sucks, man. Record store day really is kind of choke. I mean, it does not, Ricky, you know, I've looked into pressing records, you know, and basically, for if you want to press a super nice 500 press, if John G wants to press a super nice double disc record, you're looking at about, and you make 300 of them, you're looking at about $17, $18 a unit, right? So that's double that, 35, right?
Yeah.
Record store day, or these labels, Omnivore, for example, you know, Omnivore press, that's 5,000, and they've got way better connections and, deals than I can get. So $52, man, that's a little obscene. You know what I mean? That really is, gouging. And what was weird is well, two quick things, and then I'll let you go at it, Ricky. Is A, the prices for rent store day have actually been going down, if you recall, Ricky. Over the past, I would say, 2 or 3 years since COVID, prices have been dropping maybe a dollar or two each time. But this time, like this double disc $50 record would have been about $37 last year, and now it's 50, which is
Well,
ridiculous.
and then also, keep in mind, like the copy counts for all of these are not particular. I don't think are particularly like low.
Well, except for the Billy Joel record, which is bizarre. Only 1,500 of them, which honestly, that's a bizarre move, because the Billy Joel record, extremely, I wanted to get one, but I wouldn't spend crazy money on them. Extremely in demand. So why hype everybody up for this really cool release when the vast majority of people can't get it? Like what's the idea there? You know what I
I
mean?
mean, I well, and but also like, I mean, there have been records, I mean, from past that have been, I don't see anything below 1,000 anymore or 1,500. Like, I mean, back in the day, like, I mean, I didn't get it on Record Store Day, but I'll just this example. There was, Against Me put out the I Was a Teenage Anarchist seven inch on red vinyl. Do you know how many copies were on that for that?
No, I don't know.
200, John. For Record Store Day,
Oh, wow.
200. That's it. I mean, other 7 inches, 400 or 500 copies. And there are times where I just would wait in lines, at Amoeba starting at like midnight. There are things I wouldn't get. And so, and the prices were not that high. So now you have high prices and high copy counts. And yeah, it's getting weird too. Like I've been hearing about smaller, the smaller record stores just not being able to handle it. But I would agree that the list, at least for for Black Friday Record Store Day, not was not bad. I didn't end up. There wasn't anything I was desperately needing, but it was at least a good sign. I was kind of one release that you didn't mention that I kind of piqued my interest, but I had like I just haven't been that involved with I haven't listened to the band that much, so I wasn't sure if I should get it or not, so I kind of waited off, and I still haven't gotten it. But that I wanted to get your take on that Madness Hit Parade album, the
Oh,
compilation. What'd you think?
he's my take. Madness is awesome. I love Madness. They've got a million great hits albums, and the fact that it matters, I think that record was like $40 or $50. I would not spend $40 or $50 on. I mean, you can get Madness greatest hits on CD for like $3. You know what I mean? And the fact of the matter is Madness is not a solid band all the way through. Their first two records are great. They've got some cool singles after that. But instead of spending $50 on kind of a pointless greatest hits album, just go get One Step Beyond for $25 or $20, or you get Absolutely for 10 to 15. That's my take on it. Need like not that totally unnecessary and kind of a waste of money. That's my take on it.
Gotcha. Okay, so yeah, that's what I heard from other people. So I'm glad I didn't jump after it. So what should we do next? Should I talk about my record store Johns? Do you want to play a song? What do you want to do?
Oh yeah, actually, we're gonna have you play a song. Well, also one last thing that we'll play Ricky's song and then we'll come back is one interesting thing though, Ricky, is, and I've noticed this is as we discussed back in the day, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, prices would start high and then get higher and things would kind of stay that way. Maybe that's like 15 years ago. Then 10 years ago, prices would shoot up and then kind of come down over the next few months. Starting about 3 or 4 years ago, prices would shoot up and then drop. And if on like Friday morning at like say 11 a.m., people would be spending $120 for a record. Whereas if you went and bought it Sunday, you could get it for like $20, literally, This time, Ricky, very unusual behavior. Prices have shot up to maybe double the cost of the record and they're staying there. And I don't know why. Isn't that interesting? So, and I don't know why. It's kind of an odd thing. But the Billy Joel record is still at like 150. The Dead Milkmen's about 125. And so price is just kind of staying up there. And I don't think those are going to come down because those are all pretty limited things. So I don't know, man, kind of a weird thing. Ricky, play a song and then we'll come back.
Did we play one of mine in the beginning?
I think we didn't. I think I totally forgot.
Okay, so I'm gonna assume we didn't. So the first song I want to play is from Oh, there's a hardcore band called School Drugs that's been kind of making waves, at least out here in SoCal. They put out their album Funeral Arrangements up through Indecision Records, which is a Orange County label. And the album is a really good, like, refreshing kind of hard take on hardcore. It's great. It's really good. So, I wanted to play the song Haunted by School Drugs. Here it is.
Back, and that was Haunted by School Drugs. Ricky, I think you did not go to Record Store Day this year, right?
No, I mean, listen, the only thing I listen, it was a solid list. There wasn't anything that was like I need to get in line for this year, you know? And I again, like, the Madness thing interested me, but I've been consistently getting people telling me, also in the Punk News comments too, when the list dropped, I'm like, is this Madness thing worth getting? And people in the comments said no. Other people told me no. You're telling me no. So I didn't, yeah, I there really wasn't, and I usually kind of skipped record Black Friday, Record Store Day when I was going, going to Amoeba at 3 in the morning and stuff like that back in the day. So I didn't, but I did hit Amoeba 2 times since the last time we talked. So I can get into that if you'd like.
Yeah, hit it on up.
So so I went to Amoeba. Let's see, when was this? I'm just November 18th, I went. When you go, sometimes you get amazing finds, sometimes you get meh, sometimes you don't come back with anything. I found Rancid self-titled 30th anniversary reissue on white with black splatter vinyl, which was that was great. I realized I didn't have a lot of Rancid records. I had a bootleg live version, live album, and my copy of And Now Come the Wolves, but I really been kind of slowly building up my Rancid collection a little bit. And then back in oh and then this was a good find. Like a this is kind of this was definitely up my alley for my collection. Was like in the back of Amoeba Hollywood on the left, in the left corner, there's like the punk metal, like, kind of grail wall, and I it's like my that's where I go first, because if I find something there, usually I'm just like, okay, I'm done, I'm out of here. Found exactly what I wanted. And I was kind of shocked when I saw this, because not because I found it, but because I'm like, how do I not have this already? And John, what did I find on the wall?
A Ramones promo.
No, though I am working on, I'm side note, I am 2 records away from getting all of my Ramones, OG Ramones studio albums. I'm almost there. No, I found
Justin Bieber's greatest hits.
wrong section. I found a copy, an original copy of Singles Going Steady by the Buzzcocks. And
Nice. One of the
so I start.
greatest, compilations. Single band compilations of all time, of course.
Yeah, so I just said, I'm taking it. It's It was weird. The label said that like the description on like the plastic said that it was like some custom inner sleeve, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. And I asked the people that got it off the wall for me, like, what does that mean? We looked inside, it was just the original inner sleeve. So I'm like, okay, fine. So those are my two record store buys. Just in the past, I got, just looking through the Instagram, I managed to snag one of the very rare copies of the smelling the scented copy of Private Functions Shrug Emoji album that came out this year, which is like in easily my top three. It's the I don't know how they did it. This records it they found Gwyneth Paltrow's Nether Regions smelling candle. I'm not kidding, and they put that scent on the record somehow, which is just I don't know how they did it, but they did it. And then it was really cool because what's it called? Gosh, what was that record label called? I'm totally blanking. Oh, Wall Ride Records got like 10 of them, and I was able to snag one, and it and stuff. So that was really cool. A certain good friend of mine, John Gentile, sent me a copy of Flag Live at the Lodge, a
Oh, what'd you think?
bootleg, which
What'd you think of that, Ricky? I'm
I
curious.
loved it. I loved
Yeah,
it.
it's cool, right?
It's a shame that they couldn't get a proper release out, but like this is the next best thing. And I saw Flag at Punk Rock Bowling 2016, and it's like doesn't compare. You know, like it's fantastic. So so I really enjoyed that. That's on red vinyl. Rancid put out that reissue of Rancid 2000s. I don't know about you, John, but I really try and see if 123 Go's records has like that hand numbered copy thing
Right, right.
variant. So I got that on purple, like translucent purple vinyl. That one's numbered. Sometimes I just in case I look on their website first before I buy something like that. I got the gold like kind of the gold pressing of Ready to Roll by Teenage Bottle Rocket. That was like kind of an expanded, really nice like cover edition. Let's see. And then I don't do this normally, but I got the These Demos Are Cursed by Get Dead on translucent red vinyl. It's the 10-inch series from the Punk Rock Museum thing that like kind of Fat Records is doing ish. And then I jumped on the Milo Goes to College reissues or the Tenants reissues, and I got Milo Goes to College, like the Liberty Green one that's like limited to I don't know 500 copies or something like that. Then I have this to talk about, and I have a bit of a chip on my shoulder about it because it kind of marks the end of an era, like we've talked about before, John. I got Bad Cop, Bad Cops, Lighten Up album on like clear with blue splatter vinyl.
Is that the first one with Alex instead of Jenny, the album wise?
It is, but it's also another first. And this is my main point. This is the first Fat Records album
Oh.
to not come with the accompanying MP3s. And
Well, you
that
know
w
why?
well, I just want to say that it's just that was just heartbreaking. Why?
Well, because Fat has sold to
Oh, yeah. To Hopeless.
Hopeless, and so I mean, even though it's under the Fat brand, it's actually a Hopeless record, if that makes any
Right.
sense.
Right. Well, I was hoping that, you know, on a okay. Like, can we keep
Yeah.
the MP3s? That'd be nice. Then and
Yeah. Well,
this will go
actually,
in.
Ricky, you make a great point. It doesn't cost that much to include MP3s with records. You know, just charge Ricky an extra dollar so he can get the
Yeah.
MP3s. You know what I mean?
Because
Like.
I'm paying because like okay, real quick, and I don't mean to pick on Pirates Press or Teenage Bottle Rocket, but I spent like a decent amount on that expanded version of Ready to Roll, and I had to pay another $10 on Bandcamp to get the MP3 version.
That's
You know,
corny.
like right? So and it's not just them. But this like kind of happened, and that's why it kind of happens a lot more these days. And then we can talk about this later, but because this is, but I want to bring this up because it's a really good example. I got War Profiteering is Killing Us All by the Suicide Machines, a 20th anniversary reissue. And John, what is it on? Zoetrope.
Ah.
So that we can talk about later. School Drugs, I got the limited blue copy, only 100 copies. The School Drugs Funeral Arrangements album that we just listened to, got to listen to a song from. I got the Dillinger 4, This Shit Is Geniuser comp, which I love. It's the closest thing we're going to get to a new album from those guys. I think that's on like this weird galaxy space green vinyl. I don't know about you, John. I got the White Guilt Atrocity Quilt 7-inch from Leftover Crack through from Spam Records. That's the red one.
Oh, that's cool. I got one from the band themselves. You know, they just gave me one. But go ahead, Ricky. I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go. But again, this
I'm
didn't
sorry.
come with the MP3s.
Well, mine did not come with the cover, Ricky. So you got the cover. I did not get the cover.
Okay. I got the Green Day's Warning reissue on orange vinyl. I'm going to skip a little bit. Oh, and then I got Homefront's album, Watch It Die, on white vinyl.
Let's talk
That
about
did.
Homefront, Ricky. How about that record, Ricky? How about that record?
It's e easily my top three. It's so good. It's
So good.
fantastic. It's actually, I think it's better than Games of Power.
I agree.
It rocks. It's synthy in all the right place. It's great. And that did come with MP3s because I bought it through Bandcamp.
See, I bought mine through the guy in North Carolina or whatever.
Oh,
Is
sorry, State.
sorry, State. Because did you pay UK shipping?
I don't remember, actually. Let me
See, 'cause I
see.
see, I tried to order it and it was like, you know, crazy UK shipping. So I ordered mine through Sorry State, but I actually don't know if I got an MP3 with it because I've listened to the CD. I haven't opened up my record. Ricky, I'm going to open up my record right now and we will see if there is a MP3 in it.
Oh
But
yeah, the shipping was a little bit steep. Not the worst from Britain, but not great.
actually, Ricky, do you understand how this whole tariff on records works? Because I think there's not supposed to be a tariff on records, but I've been getting a lot of labels and stuff saying, oh, we can't ship you because there's a tariff on records. Do you understand how that works or doesn't work? Because I don't understand.
I saw one label that I talk about how like they're going to stop shipping to the United States because they don't know what the situation is, but I haven't come across that yet. But I had no issue. I mean, shipping was 11 pounds.
Well, that's not that bad. That's like
Not
16,
horrible.
17 bucks. That's not that
Yeah,
bad at all,
so
actually.
and I mean from it's not great, but it's not, shipping's gone up everywhere.
Ricky, what color is your record? Is your Homefront record? Mine's white.
Oh, you got a white one too. Nice. I got white.
Ricky, there is not an MP3 in the record itself, so you got a bonus.
Yeah. So I'm happy about that. And then I don't know, I got the new Broke Down's record, Let's Tip the Landlord. It's great. Really good. On translucent yellow vinyl. And I guess I'll kind of cut it there. It's been a good I was kind of getting worried. I thought it wasn't gonna be kind of a light year for releases, but luckily it's kind of picked up late second half this year. That's kind of what I've been up to record collecting wise. I'm still waiting to pull the trigger on the last two Ramones studio albums. Those are extremely expensive.
Yeah, like 300, right?
250, 300, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting on that, but it's still like it. I think it'll happen in the next year or two or something. But I everything else I have, so I'm really stoked on that. Should we jump into the Zoetrope discussion, or what would you
Yeah,
like to
sure.
do, John?
Well, actually, let's talk about the home front for a while. I mean, like, man, I've
Yeah.
been jamming this record. I am loving this record. I agree that it's more synthy, and I said this in my review. Everyone, you know, with Homefront, at least last year, the cliche was, oh, Homefront, they're like Joy Division, which was totally wrong. Not like Joy Division, they're like New Order, actually. But I
Yeah.
would say the new record isn't even like New. I mean, certainly there's a trace of New Order there, but it's really more like Tears for Fears and Frankie Goes Hollywood, two bands that I can't
Yeah.
stand, but I
Yeah, but
like.
it rocks really hard at certain points too that keep it like really just kind of aggressive. It's great.
I agree, and I think they've taken that sound and actually made it really awesome and have kind of
Yeah.
perfected it. I love the record. The question, Ricky, is it too retro? That's the only question that I, because there are certain songs that sound like and they're great songs. Like some of like Empire, Between the Waves.
Yeah, I was
Those
gonna say
songs
Empire.
could have been in 1985. You know what I mean? Is it too retro, or is it because they mix it up with a little bit of harder music here or there? It passes the litmus test.
I think that passes. If it was just like the synthy stuff, honestly, I probably wouldn't be a fan. Like this is not my usual. Homefront is not my usual kind of band. I've never been like a New Order fan.
You don't like New
And I'm
Order?
just.
Even like the first couple records?
I heard. I remember hearing singles and not and just not being really like into it that much. Maybe now after I've heard Homefront, maybe that's that can change. But
You like
like,
Joy Division?
I again same thing. I remember just going through them a day, and I just wasn't like it. Just didn't really do much for me.
Ricky, you need to check out Joy Division's first album, Unknown Pleasures. Check that out, man. Amazing
Okay.
record.
No, I always hear amazing things. It just like wasn't my usual it just didn't really like hit me like it clearly hits you know. But this is something like this really kind of it kind of brings the Joy Division fans and like the hardcore fans together. I mean, I remember hearing Nation for the first time and being like, what the fuck is this? And it was just like, what? I didn't I was totally blown away, and I immediately bought the Nation single on Discogs like immediately after I heard it. So that's kind of where I'm at with them.
The one other thing I will say though is that this record's amazing, but I felt like it didn't have the impact that I expected it to have, like just collective consciousness wise, you know. And like there's no like massive tour with this, and like I would think that this band would be touring right now because this
Yeah.
record is fantastic. So like, where's the tour? And do you think this record had the impact? Because I expect this record to blow up like Scow blew up there for a hot minute or whatever, or
I
even
had
kind
a
of like,
theory.
what's your theory?
So, okay, first of all, my favorite song of the year is not is on an album that will probably not make my end of the year list, but Birds by Turnstile is just a jam. It's so good. And blasting it like in the car, so much fun. I think aside touring aside, I think this album may have been overshadowed by the Turnstile album. Because it's just blown up everywhere. That band really blew up last year or the la with the last album cycle, and now this one too.
I just do not get. I mean, I get Turnstile, but I'm just not into it at all,
Me
man.
either. Me typically I'm not either, but Birds is just like what? So like for me, if Record Store Day put out a 12-inch single for Birds, I would get it. But I the whole album as a whole, I didn't do anything for me, but it clearly does a lot for a lot of people. And maybe people just missed the mark because they were distracted with the Turnstile album. I don't know, but that's just a theory.
Well, one last unrelated thing is, and I meant to mention this, so this is just me bitching. Guess what? I wanted to buy the Billy Idol 12-inch single, which has 77 with Avril Lavigne on the A side, and then the album version on the B side. Guess what that costs, Ricky?
Oh, Billy Idol's like doing his last hurrah right now. So it's probably $30.
$30 for one song. I had to pass, man. I can't do that. You know what I mean?
No.
Like,
And also like Avril Lavigne, like do we need that?
actually, I actually think that's kind of interesting that Billy Idol, who came from punk and became a pop star, but despite the fact that he became a pop star, was never seen as a quote sellout or ever, and I don't think he's a sellout. I think he's a really interesting and great artist. I find it interesting that in the past couple of years, there's been an ironic turned into genuine Avril Lavigne celebration, and I am not an Avril Lavigne fan, but like people are like, oh, Avril Lavigne, the queen of punk, as like a joke. Now people love Avril Lavigne again, so
Oh, yeah.
I do find it interesting that Billy Idol is embracing that. And there's something interesting about a first wave becomes pop star, punk icon with the pop punk quote pop star from the early 2000s doing a song together. I find it interesting. That being said, I'm not spending $30 for it. Anyway, so Ricky, you wanted to talk about the Zoetrope.
Okay, I have I think I have like two or three of these. I know, so I mentioned before that I have the one. I mean, there's no other choice when ordering it, the Suicide Machines album on Zoetrope. And then there was a, oh gosh, it wasn't the this current Laura Jane Grace album. But there was another one that came with it, and I'm like, okay, I'll try it, I guess. And apparently, it's supposed to like move on while your record's playing, and like I didn't get it; it didn't work. I'm seeing bands. I saw like NOFX did a reissue of one of their albums on Zoetrope. I don't understand this at all. I think it's kind of dumb. I mean, if you're gonna sell me a picture disc, I guess sell me a picture disc if you have to, or I'd rather you didn't. But John, I don't know why this is happening. Is this just a way to get the obsessive collectors just to buy another copy?
Well, the answer is yes, because I actually almost bought for Record Store Day the Rolling Stones, or actually not the Rolling Stones, Abco Records, or the entity that owns Abco Records, reissued the Rolling Stones their Satanic Majesty's Request, which is not controlled by the Rolling Stones, and it was a Zoetrope. And Ricky, I've got like, I probably have seven versions of that album. You know what I mean? Like, I got the mono, the stereo, the CD, the bootleg CD mono, the remastered. So maybe I got like five or six of them. So I don't need another copy of their Satanic Majesty's Request. But it was a Zoetrope. I'm like, oh, well, and then I'm like reading the back of it. And a Zoetrope isn't what I thought it was. I thought a Zoetrope was, those like, the first motion pictures, Ricky, is you would put like your eyes up to like a pair of glasses and rotate the thing and like, pictures would spin around and move, just like a little flip book that you would make. I thought that's what a Zoetrope essentially was, in that the pictures on the record were placed so that when it spins at 33 and a third, it looks like the pictures are moving, But apparently, some or all Zoetropes aren't actually that. For the Rolling Stones one, which I almost bought, I'm glad I didn't, is what you do is you play the record and then you hold your cell phone over it with an app. And then the app animates, which that's stupid. Yeah, like
No, I
so.
my whole the whole point of this is to be analog. What and like not be in front of a screen. What?
And it also said for mixed results, you could shine a black light on it, or a strobe, no, a strobe light. And I'm like, that seems like a lot of work, man. Just I if it just moved while I watch, I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. But if it doesn't do that, then I don't really care. So
This,
anyway,
yeah.
the point being is the answer. Zoetrope is definitely just a another way to squeeze money and get you to buy a record you already have. My question, Ricky, is how's the sound quality? Because famously, picture discs do not have good sound quality.
It, I mean, it was fine. I have the original double disc of War Profiteering is Killing Us All and a gas a match and some gasoline. I didn't notice a huge difference. I mean, but in terms of like, but if you so they actually reissued a match and some gasoline or Side One Dummy did maybe a year or two ago, and it was really done well. Like they had they put like foil on the cover. They added that cover of that song Smile that they did to it. And then the War Profiteering one, they the reissue was just the album, no inner sleeve or no like extras inside. It was just like a I think it was just a white cover for the actual disc and the Zoetrope, and that was it. The Zoetrope like edition record. And sound-wise, it was fine. I don't remember it being particularly bad or anything like that. Or I don't remember it being good, like amazing either. But like, I was just kind of like, if you're gonna reissue something, like really do it. I always go back to this one, but like the one of the best reissues since you and I think have been paying attention to the record industry. It was Fat Wreck's reissue of Fuck World Trade, where they had all the extra art, the extra tracks. The double disc album on like all the splatter rec albums. Just if you're gonna reissue, do something like extra like that. I don't need the Zoetrope or the picture disc. Do a cool splatter or marble record that kind of matches the cover. Maybe an extra track or two, or bonus or a demo, something cool just to differentiate it from the other one, and call it a day. Like, but this and doing new albums on Zoetrope, I don't like why. I don't want to. I don't know why I'm supposed to care that much. So, if I don't have to get Zoetrope, I'm versions. I'm not going to. It's just it's annoying.
Yeah, I was mildly interested, and now I'm frankly not that interested. So yeah, man. Let's see. So that's our record today. I agree, Ricky. Well, here's the question, Ricky. Let's talk this. Where do you see the future of vinyl records? And here's a loaded question. Do you feel that kind of major labels and bigger dogs are kind of over squeezing and strangling the whole thing to death, if you will, the whole
Well,
culture?
that's been the case for what, 5 years now? I
Yeah,
mean,
but I
we
feel
were
like it's
talk
getting worse, frankly.
it is. I mean, we talked about, remember Adele
Oh,
had
yeah.
like half a million copies of a record pressed, and then we had and then I remember when not this last sorry Swifties, but this last Taylor Swift album came out, the one before, I don't know, my sister is gonna be so pissed that I don't know the name of it. It came out like,
Oh, Poet Society. Is that the one you mean? Dead
no,
Poet Society?
the something lore or something like that.
Folklore.
Yeah. That had like 12 different variants when it first came out. Like, what? What are you doing? And with kind of emo and the Warped Tour pop punk scene kind of getting the nostalgia treatment right now, who knows what pressing plants are going to be doing for reissues in the coming few years. So yeah, they are pushing out everyone else out. But everything's getting more expensive with less, and we're clearly getting less. I.e., like, not getting MP3s with anything anymore.
Honestly,
Yeah.
Ricky, I feel you're paying MP3s, but I don't think most people care. I think
I
most
know they
people listen
don't.
to Spotify. I don't think I care about MP3s, for instance.
This is my hill. This is the hill I'm dying on. I
Yeah,
fully realize
fair.
that most people don't care. But what about you, John?
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on. I hate to say it, not going. I do hate to say it. I think the current record mania is dying down, frankly.
Yeah.
I think when I sell records 5 or 6 years ago, I would sell Led Zeppelin records or Talking Heads records or Fleetwood Mac to 17 and 18 year olds. Now, 17 and 18 year olds are not buying records at all. They're buying $3 CDs. The 24
Really?
year olds are still buying records, but not CDs. A kid, and really who kind of drives that kind of culture is the kids. So if a kid walks into a store and a record's 45 or 50 bucks, they'll buy that record, but they're not going to buy a lot of records. And they'll buy that record and maybe come back in months, not weeks, and eventually kind of it'll peter out. And so I feel it's a combination of two things. I feel like the boom that we've been having since COVID and since before COVID is kind of dying down, because where records, over the past, say, 15 years or 10 years, 15 years, we're kind of like, wow, isn't this interesting that this old thing is back and everybody wants it again? I feel that novelty is starting to wear off, and frankly, much later than I thought it would, which I'm pleased about. But then that coupled with records just being insanely expensive, and you can still get punk records for 25, 26, even 22 once in a while,
Yeah.
but the kids, they aren't really, they're not buying punk records for the most part. They're buying Taylor Swift, they're buying Wicked, they're buying Chappell Roan, or any of that kind of stuff, and those are all $40, $45. And so like one record is a big purchase, and that's the one purchase they're going to get, not when I mean when I was going to the record store, before the current boom, I would get five, six, seven records, $40 to $60, not new, used. But when a record is 20, 20 or 25, you can buy two or three records. But when they're 40, you kind of buy one, because if you buy two, $100, you get two records. Wow, big, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
I do think it's kind of strangling itself out, which is a bummer. And so I guess I think the market, I think records will still be quote popular for at least a few more years. I think it's going to slowly drift back down to where it was maybe 2007 or eight, wise. But one thing I will say, man, people love dogging on Taylor. They love dogging on Chappell Roan, but they do sell physical records. They are kind of the only thing that are keeping the kids interested in physical records. The kids want, they want Taylor. They want Chappell Roan. They want Sabrina Carpenter. They want Tyler the Creator. They really want Frank Ocean. They want all that stuff on vinyl,
Yeah, but the problem is no one's taking the risk, risk in quotes, to open another pressing plant, except for like Jack White or something.
Yeah, well, honestly, I don't know if it's needed right now because I think record sales. I mean, it'll be interesting to see the end of the year details. I think record sales might be down physically, to tell you the truth, you know.
John, I was just looking through my collection for a second because this conversation reminded me of a record that I played recently because I always play a Misfits record on Halloween,
I do too,
and
indeed.
I have a cop my copy of Static Age from Amoeba Berkeley. It still has the it's not like a particularly like rare copy or anything like that. I just bought it, straight from the store, and the price tag is still on it. Guess how much it is?
1995.
10.99.
Oof. Let's see how much that is now, Ricky.
I
That's
know.
crazy.
It's and that was brand new from re and that was probably 10 years ago at least. Probably 12 years ago.
Ricky, what do you think I spent for my original copy at Mrs. Walk Among Us at Rasputin Mountain View?
I saw like or I remember telling someone I saw Earth AD signed by Glenn Danzig, an OG copy for a grand at CD Trader in Tarzana. So I don't know. You probably I what 500 bucks?
No. Oh, I should have said back in 2007 when I first moved to
Oh,
California.
2007?
Back in 2007, what do you think I paid for my original copy, original press of Walk Among Us at Rasputin Mountain View, which sadly is no longer around?
Oh God, did you pay 100 bucks?
Lower.
50?
Lower.
20?
$25, Ricky. And
Whoa.
there was a copy, and I think I might have told the story before. There was a copy of Die Die, My Darling there, right? And in it, there was a Misfits armband, you know? And
Oh,
I kind
man.
of thought that, like, they all came with that, or maybe the original press came with that. And so I passed on it because at the time, $25 was a lot of money to me. Well, yeah, but $25 is still a lot of money. But the fact, so I passed on that. And ever since then, I'm like, what was that armband? Was that like Doyle's armband, or what was that armband, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
So who
that's
knows?
crazy. Yeah, I've run into those situations too. I remember there was a cop a confirmed first press of Energy by Operation Ivy that I passed on, and I shouldn't have. I regret that one.
But yeah, I mean, I will say I got, I mean, I've been in the records a while, but when I moved out to California, I went to Streetlight and Rasputin a lot, and I wouldn't say I took full advantage of the dollar bin, but I took pretty good advantage of it. I mean, in retrospect, I wish I had bought 50 times more than I did, but I did get a lot of killer records for a buck or two. The question is, Ricky, will we ever see a return to those values of records? And B, do we want that? And here's why, Ricky. Well, I don't want it because I sell records. But B, do we want that? Because I will say, that was a weird fluctuation in my voice. I will say that with the popularity of records, Ricky, and the increase of value of records, I found that it's much easier to get rare and obscure records that you want because they're in the mix, they're in circulation. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're in the flow. So, do we, what, Ricky? What do you want to see happening with the records in the future? Stay where they're at now, get more popular, decrease, or rock bottom? What do you want to see happen?
I just want to go back. I want to see it decrease and go back to like 2012. 2013, because I'm looking at one of my 7-inch boxes has a sticker that says Record Store Day 2013, John.
But that means fewer reissues, though, Ricky. That means reissues will
I'd
be less because
you
we
know
are
me.
the.
If
Oh,
I can
go
have a beat up copy of an original like Blondie or Ramones record, as long as it has the inner sleeve and it plays well, I'm good.
ahead.
I don't need reissues that much. I want to hunt, you know?
I actually agree 100% that like the and I don't mind it, but these days like everyone wants premium mint records. Ricky, I don't give a shit, man. Like I really don't. Like I
I
don't want a
just I,
trash record, but you know
yeah.
if the jacket's a little beat up, if someone put their name on the back, you know, if the record's got a couple marks on it but it plays, I really don't care, Ricky. I really don't care, you
Yeah,
know.
I have a, I mean I just want it to play. I don't want it to like skip or like snap or anything like that, but if there's some edge wear or like a little bit of ring wear from like the 70s or the 80s, like I don't really mind. I think that gives it character and it's kind of cool.
Well, speaking of Blondie, Ricky, guess what I got recently?
Did you did not get John? Did you get that reissue that 1999 album of theirs?
Oh no, I didn't. I wanted to, but it was like $60, and it was like 70 after shipping. So I'm like, yeah, I wanted
Okay.
to, but did you?
No, because the only song that I like from that album is Maria, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I would if it was 25 or 30, I'd go bam, sure, no problem. But like, you know, 50, $60 is like, oh, I got to draw the line somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Ricky,
I
I
hear you.
got a Parallel Lines test press.
Really? That's
Yeah,
pretty
man.
cool.
I got it from some dude that was like the biggest Blondie collector in the world, or a huge Blondie collector, and that was kind of cool. So yeah, man, Blondie's great.
I have a my dad he when he moved he when my mom and my parents moved they offloaded their records onto me and my siblings and he I got his sealed copy of Parallel Lines from back in the day when it first came out, but it's a picture
Nice.
disc.
Oh, where she's like licking the album cover or something, the album
Yeah.
on the right. Yeah.
So,
Well, there you
yeah.
have it. That cover reused for Blondie's two or three disc greatest hits set. I think it's called like platinum or something like that. So anyway, again, I don't know, anything else you want to cover? Anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, I want to play a song later, but we got, I mean, is there anything you want to see on Record Store Day lists,
Good
John?
question. Well, we say every year, I'm going to say it again, Sam Hain, not going to happen, but I'd love to see Sam Hain. But actually, well, Ricky, let's talk about that. A, did you are you a dancing fan or you're not really?
I'm more Misfits. I remember like maybe 2 years ago, I went through the I think I listened to all of Danzig 1 through 4 one like in like a month or something like that. It was fine. I but I know like people go wild for Danzig, but I not his solo stuff really.
Well, I love Danzig 1 through 4, and of course, as the listeners certainly know, they just reissued
Yeah.
1 through 4 on Universal for a mere $27 each. Very reasonable, great sound quality. I mean, they're basically exact as the originals, which is fine and cool. Super, the question though, Ricky, is does that signify the potential for a Sam Hain reissue, or do you
Yeah.
think because, see, I think it doesn't, and here's why. I thought it was very odd how Danzig reissued those because he had them back, and I guess he resold them back to Universal. And that's suggested by the fact that he posted about those records when they or his website or whatever, or his social media posted about those records when they were reissued, which suggests that somehow he was there's some kind of contract involving the reissue, because if he didn't own those records, he wouldn't repost about them. So my guess, and this is strictly a guess, is I think he got them back and then resold them back to Universal, and then there was some kind of clause in the contract says we had to post about it when we announce them or something. But Danzig's a very unusual guy, so I think in his mind, he's not as protective of Danzig 1 through 4 because those were major label records from the get go. By contrast, Sam Hain has always been kind of the most cultish and lesser known of the three bands: Misfits, Sam Hain, Danzig. And so I think Danzig likes keeping Sam Hain as like this kind of semi secret cult record, and I think he's just not going to reissue it because he wants to keep it like you have to find,
Oh,
you know.
yeah.
Which I can sort of understand, but then he gets furious about bootlegs. Well, it's like, you know what, man? I mean, like, Danzig's the man, but he would make so many people happy if he would just repress them, and he won't. Anyways, so that's something I'd like to see, but we talk about that every year. What else would I like to see? Let me think here. Oh, I will say the Rolling Stones just reissued Black and Blue, and the new version comes with a whole album worth. It's not really outtakes, it's really more than just jamming. But then it's got an amazing live album with it too, live on 75, I think. Awesome. Super great reissue. Comes with a big book that explains everything. Super awesome reissue that just came out. But what would I, let me see, what would I like to see on vinyl? There's some really out of print Gwar stuff, which I would like to see. Actually, there's a couple of out of print Gwar live albums, some that were never even physically released. There's one called You're All Worthless and Weak. There's also another one like live at the big metal festival in Europe. What's that one called, Ricky? Not Hellfest.
Rock and Ring or something?
Wacken. Wacken. Gwar live at Wacken. Never got a physical release. I'd love to see a vinyl reissue of that. And let me pick one more. How about, let's see here. How about, I will say. Oh, here's one timing, and that this could actually potentially happen. It's kind of strange that it hasn't. There are a lot of No Doubt outtakes, and I suspect, actually, I know there are unreleased No Doubt live albums because there's live DVDs but no album of it, just the DVD. And in the 90s, record labels taped live shows all the time just because they were making so much money. They're like, well, let's tape this live show, and if we use it, we use it, and if we don't, we don't. I would love to see a massive reissue of No Doubt Tragic Kingdom or No Doubt
Oh.
Rocksteady or even No Doubt Return of Saturn with like a bunch of bonus material, a live album, some of the B-sides, that kind of a thing. I'd love to see that. And I'll throw one more. Dead Milkmen, widespread reissue of all the classic records, Beelzebub, all that stuff. Let's reissue it. Let's get it out there, boys. That's my take. How about you, Ricky?
I just have a couple. I mean, I've been, I know Morning Glory or anything Ezra Kyer led will not happen. So
Oof.
my heart remains broken. Fine. I would, I like I said before, I think a Birds 12 inch from Turnstile would be a lot of fun. And then also, and I mean, this could be a box set. It doesn't have to be a box set. But I would like to see Big Wigs records come on vinyl. Only like Stay Awake and maybe like one other have been on vinyl, but nothing else is. And Unmerry Melodies is underrated classic from the 90, like 90s skate punk era. Reclamation is like was a huge find for me when I found it later, much later after it came out. So I would like to see either a box set or just press it on vinyl for the first time. Press all of them on vinyl and reissue Stay Asleep with the band actually agreeing to it. So those are my two.
Well, there you have it. Some good picks all around. Ricky, you going to any shows coming up?
Nothing, probably until next year. How about you?
Not a whole lot until next year. I'm going to hit to the 80s or whatever, which is Flock of Seagulls, Bow Wow Wow, Men Without Hats, which I'm super
Oh,
psyched about.
nice.
I just saw Patti Smith do All Horses. It was mind-blowingly amazing.
Cool.
Mind-blowing. She did all four. Well, actually, her and she and the band, Lenny Kaye and the whole crew, they did All Horses. Then Lenny Kaye and crew did like a mini television set, because I didn't even know this. Tom Verlaine actually co-wrote a lot of the stuff on Horses, which I didn't even know. Then they did like another set of like kind of hits and some new stuff. Then they did like a 9-minute version of My Generation. And at the end, Patti Smith like took a guitar and just like made noise and ripped the strings off it, which was super awesome. Oh, and then actually, beginning of next year, I got KRS-One and Public Enemy at this big festival they always have down in Atlantic City. It's usually KRS-One and Public Enemy or something like Schoolie D's playing. There's this huge hip hop festival in Atlantic City, which I'm psyched for. Let's see, anything else? Let's see here. Oh, I got Residents. Actually, the Residents I'm excited about because they're playing this thing called the Arden Music Hall, which is kind of like this. It's kind of run by like old hippies,
Yeah.
but like wealthy hippies, you know? And so it's like this weird spot in the middle of the woods in Delaware. And it's like very, well, it's like kind of artsy, but it's like safe artsy. So anyway, it's the Residents playing like this really small venue, which I'm psyched about. And of course, way off in the summer, I've got No Doubt tickets, which of course was coinciding with Punk Rock Bowling, which is now canceled. So I'm probably just going to fly out for No Doubt anyways and see No Doubt and stay in Las Vegas for like 3 or 4 days. Oh, also, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Ricky, go
Oh,
ahead.
I just was gonna say I forgot for a second that Punk Rock Bowling got canceled. That was
Yeah, it sucks, man.
did we get a reason or no?
No, I have. Well, actually, no, he. Well, here's some speculation that we talked about on the podcast before, and I think the speculation is part of it. Now, this is speculation, mind you. We don't know this.
Yeah.
Is Las Vegas traditionally wants events there because that brings people to Las Vegas and people spend and gamble money. So, like, Las Vegas has traditionally been very friendly to bringing in whatever kind of event you have you know, be it conventions, be it festivals, be it magic shows, whatever, you know. And so Punk Rock Bowling, I think, utilized that quite wisely and to the benefit of both sides. However, Ricky, and this is kind of an open-ended question, what has happened music festival-wise within the past year and a half in Las Vegas and other areas?
I don't know.
Those gigantic AEG one day, $600 four stage 40 band fests have been taking, you know, like when we were young fest. And of course, they pay a premium to Las Vegas because it's more infrastructure and more work, but they make a lot more money because essentially they get, whereas Punk Rock Bowling is, we'll say 3 days, it's really 5 days or 6 days, but 3 days. So they get 3 days worth of money. AEG gets 3 days worth of money in 1 day, but it's not really one. It's really more like 1.5 days, and that like they pay premium or whatever, and they give money to Las Vegas, but they're still there's less overhead, so they're making way more profit, right? And so this is my speculation: is I think Las Vegas might have said to the Stern Brothers, "Well, we want AEG money now, not Punk Rock Bowling money." You know, and I don't know if that's the case, but it seems to fit the puzzle. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah.
So, kind of a bummer, man. Kind of a real bummer.
Yeah.
Punk Rock Bunkies are going to be back in 2026, 2027. I hope so. I don't know if I'd gamble on it, Ricky. Not even in Vegas.
Right. Oh,
So
man.
we shall see, man. Punk Rock Bowling is awesome. So, Ricky, you went once, right?
I went 3 times.
Oh, what'd you say?
I stayed at the Golden Nugget every time.
Not Gold Nugget, nice choice. I would say El Cortez, my favorite hotel in Vegas, which I don't know, Ricky. I might see it this summer. That might be it. I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
We'll
because the fact
see.
of the matter is, I talk about Punk Rock Bowling in Vegas way too much on the podcast, but I have such a good time there. But I
It's
will
a
say,
great time. It's amazing.
it is. I'm glad you said that. But the thing is, Ricky, Vegas without Punk Rock Bowling. How fun is Vegas without Punk Rock Bowling?
Oh, no. See, here's the deal. I'd have if I whenever people ask me, "Oh, do you want to go to Vegas?" I go, "What are we going to do there?"
Right.
Like there's no like if the only reason why I ever left for Las Vegas was to go to Punk Rock Bowling. I mean,
Right.
I went on family like on one family trip like a long time ago, but like okay, fine, but like we were coming back from somewhere else. I'm not going to just go to Las Vegas and gamble like
Right.
and drink a lot. Like that's boring. And
Yes.
so and no, I if I have a reason to go to Las Vegas, then yeah, maybe I'll play like roulette and have a drink at the roulette table. Okay, fine. But like I'm not going to just go to Vegas to go to Vegas. I'm going to be doing something else there. And Punk Rock Bowling was it. It was I mean, I there's I never you know back you know, I went from I went 2016, 2017, 2018, 2016, I was getting out of a leftover crack cu club show at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that's a blast.
And then suddenly I see suddenly I'm sharing room my room with some members of the band from Pairs. Like it was just a crazy time, but it was because it was Punk Rock Bowling, not because it was Vegas.
I gotta say, Ricky, the Punk Rock Bowling 2017 lineup or 2018 lineup, it was not that great, honestly.
Which one was that? Was that the Iggy
Rise
Pop one?
Against? No. Were you at that one?
I was at 2016, 2017, 2018, I remember not being as fun for some
Yeah,
reason, but
2017 was the Iggy Pop year. Ricky, I should have went out, man. Iggy Pop off the Spits, the Interrupters. Man, I should have went, man. Choking Victim.
yeah,
I should have
that was
went,
a
man.
good one.
Discharge. Well, it's not really Discharge, but Discharge in quotation marks. We should have
2016, 2016 was my
Crossfire.
favorite. 2016 was my favorite lineup. Like that was just crazy.
I
It
should
was
have went,
just
Ricky. We could have hung out, Ricky.
I know. It was 2016. I think it was like, I think the headliners were Flogging Molly and Descendants and Flag. Like, what? I'm seeing the Descendants and Flag in the same weekend. Are you kidding me? So.
I will say the best punk rock bowling was, looks like it was it 20 was 2020 or 2019, maybe 2019, because was 2020 that it didn't happen. Yes,
2020. Yeah.
the best punk rock bowling, Ricky, was 2019. Flag, The Specials, The Damned, Fear, Fucked Up,
Oh yeah,
Adolescence,
that was a good one.
Sloppy
Yeah.
Seconds, The Coat Hangers. That year was like that year was like John D Fest, man. Like that was the one for me, man. Although they're all cool, man. Even the last year where the lineup wasn't killer, frankly, it was still good. Anyways, who knows? Ricky, call right now. Will there be a Punk Rock Bowling in 2027? Call right now, Ricky.
Yeah, it may not be as big, but yeah.
Well, there you have it. Yet again, Ricky and John talking records. Always a good time. Ricky, always a good
Yeah,
time.
always a blast.
Ricky, do you want to send us out with a song?
Sure. So I am a big fan of Private Function. I think I've mentioned them several times on the podcast. They came out with an album. It's just that's basically just the shrug emoji for the title. I think there's an actual hidden title on the cover. I haven't found it yet. It's fantastic. I actually wrote a re you can check my re review over at Punk News that I wrote. There's I'm not going to play it, but there's a hilarious and just really great cover of ABBA's SOS. Trust me, it's awesome. I'm not gonna play it, but check out the album. It's definitely one of the top few of the year. This band's been absolutely on fire in the studio for sure. So if you haven't listened to it, give the album a full listen. I'm gonna play the song Gamma Ray from the album. So here's Gamma Ray by Private Function.
Shut down in the street, I am Gamma Ray. Shut down.